Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It's Brett Winterbull. It's the Brett Winterbull Show. Our phone number is always 704-570-1110. I tried to warn you about this. And I think I warned about it last week, too. Get ready. Social media declaring war on you. You may not realize it yet, but they are. Just one day after Jack Dorsey was replaced as the CEO of Twitter by the company's former chief technical officer, someone named Parag Agrawal, the platform has banned the sharing of any images or videos of people without their explicit consent. The far left company stating, quote, "The misuse of private media can affect everyone, but can have disproportionate effect on minorities, women, activists, dissidents, and members of minority communities. Twitter has banned the sharing of photos and videos of people without their consent," stating that, quote, "The misuse of private media can affect everyone." This is a shot right at you conservatives that are still on that platform, you libertarians as well. You need to find a much better platform to go to. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm telling you this right now, as we approach the new year, I am going to be taking leave of Twitter and probably Facebook too. But this is interesting to me. Why do you think it's important that they say the misuse of private media can affect everyone, but has a disproportionate effect on women, activists, dissidents, and members of minority communities? Why are they saying we're going to ban the sharing of any images or videos of people without their explicit consent? It's because of the riots. It's because of what happened in Waukesha. You had all these people filming, putting it up on Twitter. You could see the perpetrators. You could see what was going on. And so now Jack Dorsey heads on down the road, and this guy, Agrawal, says, okay, you know what? This is my chance. We're gonna create a softer, kinder, gentler, warmer, better, whatever you want to call it, social media platform. And so think back to the summer of 2020 with all the Biden rallies that were happening in cities that were burning. That's sarcasm. But think about all the stuff that went on in the summer of 2020, the rioting, the looting, the burning, the destruction, the what have you. What did you have? You had people like Andy Ngo going out to Portland and filming Antifa beating people in the street with sticks and bats and bricks and whatever. And then Andy Ngo, remember, he got hit by a cement milkshake, a milkshake in a cup that was made out of cement that somebody threw at his head and hit him in the head. And what they don't want to have happen is they don't want to have rioters and looters and Antifa filmed and then posted up on social media. Because I don't see any indication that any of the videos of Rittenhouse running around with the backwards hat and the gun, that's been taken down. But they're setting this in place for the 2022 election cycle. That's what you have to understand. Jack Dorsey was bad. This guy is much worse. All right. Sergey and what's his face, who founded Google, were bad. The replacement is much worse. Zuckerberg is still in charge over at Facebook, but he's moving into the weird, stupid meta world where you can have an avatar and dance around with an anteater or whatever it is you want to do. You know, he's going into that realm. But make no mistake, the shot across the bow, the Lexington and Concord moment happened earlier today, when they decided the direction of Twitter is going to be censorship based. Now, if you're on the right side of the argument, I'm sure you can post videos all day, every day. I'm sure you can do that. If you're doxing people who are critics of the Biden administration, if you are doxing people who are concerned about the border, you're going to be fine. You put those videos up all day. Think about the double standard that was Maxine Waters encouraging people to form a crowd and to tell the Trump administration people that you're not welcome in this country. And you push back and you make a crowd and you tell them that they're not welcome in this country. You'll be fine if you're Maxine Waters, but if you are somebody who wants to go out at some point in the 2022 election and challenge the Green New Deal, AOC, challenge the spending, well, you're going to get the SEIU treatment like they delivered back in the 2009-2010 cycle when they would deploy SEIU members to go to Democrat town hall meetings to straighten out you people who had to get your mind right when it came to dealing with the porculous bill, spending, all that sort of stuff. They had to bring some kinetic energy to get your mind right. And that's what they would do. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's going to be curious to see as Twitter becomes increasingly purified. And that's essentially what the big tech left wants to do in Silicon Valley. What they want to do is they want to purify the social media space. And how do you do that? The same way you would purify iron and trying to get to the point of where you could create steel. You want to raise the temperature so it's very hot, and then you want to purify the impurities. The impurities are people who still believe in libertarianism, personal liberty, freedoms, the 10 amendments to the Constitution that you believe were written on purpose in that place. They want to purify from that. You liberty lovers, you people who believe that all 10 of those amendments are important and that all of the amendments, including the 10th and the 11th and the 12th and the 13th and the 14th, those are all incredibly important amendments. You're not going to be welcome because what you're watching happen here, and it's happening in social media, this will be the first domino to fall. I imagine you'll see Instagram will probably go next, Snapchat, and then into Facebook. What you're seeing is this is the Great Reset. Everyone always thought the Great Reset was going to be the thing that was happening during the pandemic. No, the Great Reset takes place after the pandemic. You've had the pandemic, you've had the shutdowns, now you've got the desperation, and you want to go out and you want to complain about inflation. You want to go out and you want to complain about lockdowns and mandates. You want to go out and you want to complain about a number of different things. Well, this is when you do the Great Reset. The left is essentially, when you boil down where the left comes from politically, and I'm talking about not people who are just Democrats, like just people who go out and they vote Democrat. Like, I don't care. Go vote Democrat. Go vote Republican. Go vote independent. Do whatever you want to do. I'm talking about the left. I'm talking about the left, Antifa et al. What they do is, in the world of politics, when they can't win, they take to the streets and burn and beat people up and burn buildings and loot and do that sort of stuff. They're the great rage quitting culture. So, of course, there's a Great Reset. You're beating them in Madden. You're beating them in NBA. You're beating them in soccer. You're beating them in any of those virtual video games that they live to play all day long while eating Pop-Tarts and smoking green stuff. You start to hang points on them. You start to say, hey, you're down 27-0. Ha ha. They rage quit. GTA, they rage quit. Minecraft, they rage quit. You name it, they rage quit. And that's the Great Reset. Because they know that their arguments cannot withstand the very heat they're going to use to purify you. So they choose not to. Got it? Good.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brent Winterbull Show. I am stoked for John Hancock's Bikes for Kids. It's going to be a remarkable opportunity to show the love that we have for folks that we don't know, as he mentioned in that promo. Most of the folks that we don't know are these people that live in the shadows there in Silicon Valley, and they figure out which of your thoughts are appropriate, which of your thoughts are inappropriate, and which of your thoughts shall be permitted to be shared with other folks. And I understand the great objection that comes every possible day is this idea of, well, you know, it's a private company. Well, technically, it's a publicly traded company, Twitter, but it is a private company, and they can set the rules that they want. They can say, listen, no conservatives are welcome, no Republicans are welcome, no MAGA people are welcome. They can say no people are welcome, that check a variety of boxes. And that is certainly their prerogative. So the only reason I bring that story up at the beginning of the program is to say, listen, start planning an alternative now. Find an alternative to stay in touch with people now, because there is going to come a point at which they're going to try to shut you down and isolate you, because that's the most important thing you can do when it comes to stopping an unpopular political opinion or an unpopular political take. Go back to 2015 and 2016 and remember how it was that there were so many people that gravitated towards what Trump was doing. And you can certainly agree or disagree with what Trump did, what he talked about, the way he comported himself in the presidency. But from a strict critique standpoint, what shocked the media more than anything was how many people held views that were similar to the candidate that was running for the nomination for the Republican Party in Trump. How many people who said, wait, you know, we do need to do something about the border. We do need to do something about trade deals. We do need to do something about a runaway, run amok federal government where you don't have a Justice Department, you have a Just Us Department, where you can weaponize agencies against American citizens like the IRS, where we can stop engaging in these eternal wars in the Middle East and bring troops home. We can fight terrorists. We can actually call the terrorists terrorists, right? All that sort of stuff. And person after person you would talk to would say this time and time again. They'd say, well, I thought I was the only person that thought that way. Well, no. See, that's the beauty of what talk radio has been in terms of a spine in this country. And by a spine, I mean giving support to those people who have opinions and want to share them on the radio as callers, right? That is what talk radio did so effectively. It's why Rush was so successful at what he did, why Sean is successful and Levin is successful, and people even on the other side have found success in interacting with people, because people have ideas and they say, well, you know what, I must be crazy. I can't believe anybody else would agree with me. And so that's what social media sort of became, right? It was, hey, get to know people that you might not otherwise know and share your interests and share your commonality. Well, it started off nice enough, but now the interest that you have to share is whatever the CCP is dictating to Silicon Valley, whatever the talking point from AOC or Chuck Schumer might be in a given week. Then you're fine. You're fine and you're free to post whatever you want and talk about whatever you want. But if you're talking about a secure border, if you're talking about getting a handle on the coronavirus or getting a handle on spending and explosive growth of government and asking questions, just questions about the greedy New Deal, I mean, you're going to get shut down. Like, for example, here's a great example of something that you might see on social media, but probably not for much longer. Large portion of oil tapped from strategic reserves by Biden will go to China and India. Did you know that? As you're paying $3.70 for gas or $3.20 for gas. Did you know that? Supposedly aimed at lowering fuel prices for Americans who continue to struggle under inflation, brought to you by the Biden administration's economic policies. The president announced last week that he would be tapping into the nation's strategic petroleum reserve. Turns out, though, that some of that taxpayer-bought oil pulled from America's largest stockpile won't even find its way to American refineries. It'll eventually not go down the line to the gas pumps in the United States. As Bloomberg reports, a large portion of the 50 million barrels being released will go to China and India. According to traders, not T-R-A-I-T-O-R-S, T-R-A-D-E-R-S, traders, not traitors. That's because the released supplies consist of sour crude, a type of oil that U.S. refiners are shunning due to its high sulfur content, which makes it more expensive to process. Foreign buyers, on the other hand, don't mind paying for less quality oil. So Biden is tapping into the nation's strategic reserve, touting his decision as a win. As a win for Americans who are experiencing pain at the pump. But rather than releasing all the taxpayer-bought oil into the U.S. supply, meaning oil you already paid for into the supply, he's sending a large portion of it to China. It's not surprising, given the revelations that have come in the New York Post and Miranda Devine and Hunter and 10% and Bob Alinsky. I mean, we know there's grifting going on here and there's some grafting going on. As even some on the left pointed out, Biden, who has staked part of his presidency on, quote, going green, releasing oil to two countries that are among the world's biggest polluters does little to encourage other nations to be more efficient. This is the folly of Bidenism. Me, 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 get me paid, then forget the rest of the world. Let them do what they got to do. I did my bit. The party that cares so very much about the environment, going green, giving our emergency oil to the world's top polluters. Remember, it was Biden who killed the Keystone XL pipeline on his first day in office, but allowed Russia to move forward with their pipeline. Limited fossil fuel projects here in the United States, ones that are cleaner than the facilities in China or India, while shipping our oil abroad to China and India. Makes no sense. The rest of his policies don't really make much sense. We were told these were the pros and that the pros could fix the situation. But the reality is, at the end of the day, it's about a bucket of money. That's all it is. And yet, it's interesting. We're going to send this to Xi Jinping and to Modi over in India. And yet, for some reason, the president is so touchy when you talk about Xi Jinping being his longtime friend. Person that he speaks with and likes and has gotten to understand. And China's no threat to us. What are you doing saying that China's a threat to us? It's a mad, 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 mad world.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. So jump out and take a couple calls, see what people are thinking about and some of the big stories that are out there moving. We begin with Chris. Chris, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, Brett. Thanks for taking my call, sir.
Yes, sir.
So once you started the program today, started bashing social media, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is going to be for me. I've been battling as a labeled, very conservative Facebook user. I don't know if you realize it, but Facebook labels us.
Oh, wow.
You can actually go and find your designated label. It's a big pain, but if you Google it, you can find the 13 steps that you can go and find how Facebook has labeled you.
Okay.
So I'm sure if you're on there, you're probably very conservative.
I'm probably.
But in any event, mm-hmm. I'm in and out of Facebook jail all the time. And I'm not one of these guys that are on there trying to be flamboyant and swearing and, like, mm-hmm. sharing this obviously false information. Mm-hmm. My latest 30-day stint was for this exact phrase. And don't worry, nobody needs to hover over the button where you're going to have to disconnect me.
Okay, no worries. Go ahead. What do you got?
It is, I'm tired of ignorant Americans giving up liberty for a fake news sense of security.
Wow, that got you locked down for 30 days for that?
Hate speech.
Hate? Oh, somebody reported you. It had to be somebody.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think they're just constantly on my page.
Wow.
It was a comment. It wasn't even a post. It was a comment on some page where they had busted.
Oh, my God.
Some fake information about mask wearing or, you know, some actual science came out.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So I jumped on and said, look, you know, that was the point is I was jumping on the side of science, which is anti-politic, mm-hmm. wear your mask wherever you go, or two masks, or three masks weren't mm-hmm. as good as one, or whatever sure. it was that I had been debunked.
So,
and they just can't have that.
So they locked you down for 30 days off that, huh?
Swear to you, bro.
That's unbelievable. Have you been similarly?
Really,
have you been similarly banned?
Leave. Stay on the platforms. Stand your ground. Share your beliefs because they want me gone. They tell me, don't post, don't comment. You know, so I'm like, oh, really? I'm doubling down. I'm just going to be super careful. I'm not going to use the word ignorant
That's right.
or anything like
That's
that
right.
and see how long I last.
So here's what you do. Whatever you want to write as your sentiment, run it through a thesaurus, and then just put synonyms that are big words that liberals don't understand. Like, here's a good one. I'm not going to say what it is. I mean, I'm going to say what it is, but I'm not going to say what it is, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, go, sir.
Okay. One of my favorites, and nobody knows what it means. It's an old school kind of word. Pusillanimous. Pusillanimous.
What'd you say?
I said pusillanimous. That's the word you got to look up. And that's one that's that's one that you want to deploy, especially in conversations and debates, because they'll go running trying to spell it, and they'll think there's a C in there somewhere, and there's not. So, all right, my friend.
Well, you got me too, Brett.
All right, buddy.
Great job. Love your show.
Thanks, Chris. That's Chris. Says stand your ground. You got to stand your ground in the socials. All I'm saying is, they're going to clamp down as hard as they possibly can on anybody who's outside the orthodoxy. Think about what Tony Fauci said on Sunday to Margaret Brennan. He actually said, if you're coming at me, you're coming at the science. Tony Fauci is the science. Like, do you know, what would you say? Serious question. What would you say if an NFL quarterback that was not having a particularly good year? So pick one of those. And you go, when you're coming at me, you're coming at pro football. You're coming at the NFL when you're coming at me. Really? Really? I'm Andy Dalton. And you're coming at me? I'm Ryan Fitzmagic. You're coming at me? Look, what would you say if the critiques were coming at Cam and he said at a press conference, when you're attacking me, you're attacking championship football, and I'm not going to stand. What would you say? But you take that from Fauci when you criticize me, when you critique me, you're attacking science? Really? What would you say to Andrew Cuomo? People are pushing him to resign, 6 months ago, then he resigns. But there he is. And he looks in the camera and he goes, when you attack me, you are attacking democracy. You are attacking the state of New York. You would just laugh at the guy. You'd be like, listen, here's a cup of coffee. Go sit down over there and settle down. Settle down, Mr. Grandiose. What are you doing? Ed, welcome to the show. Ed, what's on your mind?
Hi, Brett, thank you for taking my call. I've been a faithful listener since I moved here in December.
Thank you.
You're welcome, but I really appreciate yours and your fellow announcers who gave the honor sessions for Rush Limbaugh early in the year.
Oh, you're very welcome for that. It was a pleasure for all of us to do that.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. My comment is an observation.
Yes.
I learned a new fact from you today, and when you said that we're shipping a lot of our own oil over to China and India,
yes,
instead of releasing it for local use.
Mm-hmm.
And so the president announced that he's going to release 80 million barrels of oil, mm-hmm, from the strategic reserve.
Yes.
Do you happen to know how many days that is equal to?
Well, it's 50 million, and it's 2.5 days if you were to only rely on that oil for the market, yes.
Exactly. Is it 50 million a new announcement? I thought it was 80.
The number I had up here a minute ago was, let me look. I believe it was 50. Let me double check. Hold on. I will correct if necessary. Because I moved off the page. 50 million. Bloomberg reported a large portion of the 50 million barrels being released will go to China and India. So it's a $50 million. It's a 50 million barrel dump.
Oh, that's a theft from the American people in its own right. Then.
Yes. Yes. It is.
You know, outrageous. But the point is, the amount of oil that he is releasing is just a pittance, mm-hmm, of what we consume.
Yes. And the thing about that, Ed, and this is what's important to understand, and thank you for your call and your very kind words. The thing about that is, it's not designed to fully supply the country. It's designed to cushion the price. It's designed to cushion the price. But you have to remember, when these gas stations, fuel stations are buying gas, they're paying for the next batch of gas coming in. The price has gone up. Their prices are going to stay up. If Biden and Democrat governors wanted to give relief to the American people, they would zero out the gas tax at the state and federal level, because that is the largest outlay inside what it is that's going on there. I mean, that's really an
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Incredible thing. News Talk's 1110, News Talk 1110, 993 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. It is good to be here with you. 704-570-1110. A lot of stuff out there on the table. And a lot that we're going to get into, especially as we get into this next hour. States are starting to push back against the woke banks. I know you're probably going, "What woke banks? What's the story there?" Well, signatories to a letter that has been sent out to a number of these woke banks. They're basically banks that want to defund energy, stuff like that. They have put, these states have gotten together and they have put on notice the chief financial officers from the banks. And these are people who are from Arizona, Arkansas, Idaho, Louisiana, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Carolina, South Dakota, Utah, Wyoming, Alabama, Texas, and Kentucky, plus West Virginia. And they're saying, look, we're sick and tired of these woke banks being part of boycotts of industries that are in our state, meaning energy usually. They're threatening, I'll tell you about this soon, they're threatening to pull $600 billion out of the woke banks to teach them a lesson. That's what they call an attention getter. Right there. Spencer, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, Spencer?
You know, the thing that I miss about Thanksgiving this year is all of the stories, all of the things that Rush used to do on Thanksgiving, about the first Thanksgiving and, you know, those other things he did. I wish that they would let you take that mantle up and continue what he was doing with those inspiring stories.
Well, I appreciate that, and I on the occasion of your call, I did post over at my Facebook page. It's not that I'm soliciting for traffic, but if you go over to the Brett Winterbull Show Facebook page, if you have access to it, I did post a really big piece that Rush had put out about it, and I understand what you're saying about it as an ongoing basis, but there's a really good one that I posted that I particularly enjoyed that he did one year, and I think you'll enjoy it too if you check it out. It's the top of the page. Can't miss it. It's right there. All right, okay. Spencer. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you being out there, and you're very, very kind with your words. Jim, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. How are you today?
I'm well.
Yes, you know, this bike drive that John Hancock is doing, I have an idea how we can help him out with it and get things going in it, and everybody can help, can pitch in and help with this drive. It's not a crazy idea either.
Okay.
You want to hear?
Yeah.
Okay. It's Brent and Boomer's Bi-Coastal Bike Drive. We start here on the West Coast with a semi-truck. Of course, it'll be escorted by a pink Cadillac with yours truly dressed as Elvis, and we stop, we call ahead, every major metropolitan area, Tucson, Houston, New Orleans, we call the TV stations, we tell them we're on our way with the bike drive. We have a parking lot where they meet us, bring your bikes, load them onto the trucks, move to the next city. Every day we stop in a major metropolitan area, and we call them to the show, and we say, here we are. The people of Tucson are helping out with the bike drive. And the best part, Boomer does the traffic. What is the traffic there in town? What kind of traffic are you expecting to run into with your pink Cadillac and your semi-truck full of bikes for the kids? We meet John Hancock on the day at Bank of America Stadium. We roll in with all the bikes we've been donated. They've been donated by the good people all across the country. And we give them to John Hancock. And then it's on to Picante's, where we have lunch with the coach. And it's a fundraiser. Anybody wants to have lunch with Brett, Jim, and the coach pays so much a plate, $500 a plate. And that all.
Wait. Hold on. I have to stop you there. Hold on. People are going to think this is really happening this year. This is something for the future. We're 1 week away. So it's going to be a lot to pull together here, Jim. So I think what we do is
Patton did it.
That's right. But you know what, Jim? Here's the thing. What a great way to maybe kick off in our happy 100th, which would be next year.
Hey! So that way you're BW on the WBT.
Jim, I didn't blow you up. You didn't kill the show. You brought grade A quality stuff. Now you gotta start working out the paperwork there and figure out how to. First of all, where the hell are you going to get a tractor trailer truck on the West Coast? There's none to be had with the supply chain.
From somebody who supplies fleet truck capability that wants to show how flexible they are. That starts with a W.
We don't do mentions. No mentions. No plugs. No plugs.
I know, but I'm just saying you can have the
All right.
producer talk to them.
So TJ's going to scrape this, scope this out, and all this. We'll kick it up to the people for the powers that be. All I can do is the intake here. The doctor's going to have to do the assessment on your condition, and we will.
I'm telling you, this is a real world feasible.
So be sure you call
operation.
Me. Be sure you call me. You know, call me at some point between now and like the fall of 2022, and let us know how it's going. How we can do this.
We'll put it together.
I'm sure we'll talk before then. I have a feeling we'll talk before then.
Yeah. I
have a sneaking suspicion we'll be speaking at least four more times this week before that.
What deductive powers do you have?
I take all the deductions I can. All right, Jimmer, appreciate you being out there. We'll kick it up to the powers that be. You see, this is how you do a show. Do you understand what we're doing here? We are sourcing farm-to-table radio topics right here. They come in, we assess them, we slice them, dice them, we put them right out there on the plate. What did he say, $500 a plate? That, holy cow, Jim. You think we got deep pockets? You think we're a town full of bankers and hedge funders? What are you doing? We are. But we're also an amazing town. We are the Queen City. 704-570-1110. That was 1 hour. We got plenty more straight ahead. News Talk 1110-993.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
WBT. Hour number two now underway. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Are you watching all this movement going on in the world of college football? It's absolutely fascinating to see what is happening out there in the world of college football. There's a story making the rounds. I feel like I should read this. I mean, this is from Rob Domofsky, who's an ESPN writer. I mean, he published this back in 2019. I'll share it with you guys later. It's kind of a lesson in how not to treat people who are working for you. It's kind of a story. But let me start with this, because I did tease this at the end of the last hour. There are states that are threatening to pull $600 billion out of woke banks. Out of woke banks. Why? Because these woke banks have decided they were going to focus all their energy on essentially destroying the energy sector in the United States. 15 states have threatened to pull $600 billion from banks that will not give equal service to the energy industry. 15 state financial officers sent a letter to U.S. banks last week noting $600 billion in assets that they pledged to take elsewhere if these financial institutions embrace corporate wokeism and prohibit financing to the fossil fuel industry. It's led by West Virginia Republican Treasurer Riley Moore. The group promised, quote, collective action in the form of an economic boycott from these banks. The letter, as quoted here at the Federalist, just as each state represented in this letter is unique in its governing laws and economy, our actions will take different forms, they wrote in the letter obtained by the Federalist. However, the overarching objective of our actions will be the same, to protect our state's economies, jobs, and energy independence from these unwarranted attacks on our critical industries. The signatories to the letters, putting the banks on notice, include the chief financial officers from Arizona, Arkansas, Idaho, Louisiana, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Carolina, South Dakota, Utah, Wyoming, Alabama, Texas, and Kentucky, in addition to West Virginia. Now, how can the states, they ask, how can we as states get dollars from severance taxes, then park it in banks that are at the same time trying to diminish those dollars by trying to boycott our industries? This is just more of the same from these woke capitalists, globalist interests out there when they are trying to dictate to us the way we need to live our lives. Asked why more states haven't joined the letter, considering 22 state financial offices are run by Republicans, Moore said, well, it's the consequence of standard hesitancy. I do believe there are going to be more states that are going to join this coalition effort. I think they want to see a little bit of how this plays out, how long we're just going to take it in the face and not do anything. President Joe Biden has been aggressive in quickly curtailing oil and gas development as promised on the campaign trail. Beyond the illegal suspension of new leases on federal land, the prohibition of new drilling sites on major untapped reserves and higher fees in the pipeline for new energy exploration permits. However, it's the administration's pressure on Wall Street to refuse investment in capital-intense industries that's dealt the biggest blow to producers, spiking prices at the pump in the process. We can't get capital because they're putting so much pressure on banks to not lend to us in the name of climate change, said Kathleen Sagama, the president of the Denver-based industry trade group Western Energy Alliance. Biden's nominee for an important regulatory role at the Treasury Department also shows no sign of an administration easing up on Wall Street. That is the aforementioned yesterday Cornell Law professor Sally Amorova, who was tapped to lead the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, who said she wants to make her mission bankrupting energy companies. If confirmed, she would lead an agency tasked with ensuring banks and federal savings associations operate in a safe and sound manner, provide fair access to financial services, treat customers fairly, and comply with applicable laws and regulations. Considering the administration's crusade against fossil fuels, it's conceivable that Amorova would weaponize the department to deter investment in an industry vilified by Democrats as single-handedly destructive to the planet. State financial officers who are engaged in this tug of war with the Biden administration wrote in their letter last week that their taxpayers would not tolerate public funds being managed by institutions that destroy economies and Americans' health in the name of climate change. We have a compelling government interest when acting as participants in the financial services market on behalf of our respective states to select financial institutions that are not engaged in tactics to harm the very people whose money they are handling. Any financial institution that has adopted policies aimed at diminishing a large portion of our state's revenue has a major conflict of interest against holding, maintaining, or managing those funds. You know, I remember the direct sort of action that was taken in the 1980s against certain countries and regimes. I remember so much of talks of boycotts and things like that with companies. Can you imagine if the energy companies said, you know what, we're not selling. You got to pick a test case that's going to be able to weather the storm. We're not selling any energy to the state of Vermont coming up into this winter. We're not selling any energy to the state of Illinois. We're not selling any energy to the state of Maryland. We're going to sell it to the other states, but we're not selling any of our energy there because these are states that have, you know, essentially said that we're filthy, dirty, awful, unacceptable industries. So we're just going to take our wares and sell them someplace else. Can you imagine how quickly the lawsuits would be filed? We are compelling you to let us have gasoline and oil, but it's deadly. It's dangerous. It's warming the planet. What would Saint AOC say if we did that? Inflation is a huge thing, by the way. I haven't talked about it yet, but coming up here in the beginning of this next segment, we're going to be joined by a guest, somebody who is looking very closely and carefully at the destruction being brought upon our economy by the failing policies of the current administration in Washington, D.C. This idea that pumping another couple of trillion dollars into the economy is going to make us all healthy, wealthy, and wise is totally off base. We'll be speaking with her coming up in just a matter of minutes. Also taking your phone calls as well, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. It is great to be here. And don't forget something here, folks, by the way, while we're at it. Let me just remind you of this because it's hugely important as we're about to get a traffic report. You've waited all year for this news, and the time is finally here. Hancock's Bike for Kids is back. WBT, the Carolina Panthers, and our friends at WSOC-TV proud to announce that Hancock's Bikes for Kids is back for 2021, Tuesday, December 7th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at B of A Stadium. WBT listeners like you have been so generous over the years, making the holidays great for tens of thousands of kids who've received a bike for Christmas. Let's continue the tradition of giving that Hancock started 28 years ago by donating a bike on Tuesday, December 7th at B of A Stadium. Please consider getting your hands on a bike early this year and avoid the shopping crunch. Visit WBT.com for details. Thank you for your donation to Hancock's Bike.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Kids. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brent Winterbull Show. Great to be here. 704-570-1110. So we've been looking at this issue of inflation impacting all of us. You just watched it with your Thanksgiving meal. You know you've got a problem when you look towards Christmas, Hanukkah, of course, the new year, and then into the next year. They keep saying it's transitory, but we know it's feeling like it's here to stay. Carrie Sheffield is with the Independent Women's Forum, joins us now on the line. Carrie, thanks for making time for us today. Talk a little bit about this impact that we're seeing from inflation and what it is that we can possibly do to try to overcome this issue.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Brett. So there are lots of ways that we're feeling the pain. Home buyers, especially first-time home buyers, we're feeling the pinch because I'm a first-time would-be home buyer. I'm looking at places and talking to realtors. The housing price index is up almost 19% compared to last year, which is great if you already own an existing home. But for especially young people, this is a big barrier to entry. And so this is a huge problem. Obviously, the issue of fuel, pain at the pump, gas prices are up almost 50% compared to last year. And home and electricity heating bills, the gas bills up 21% compared to last year. So this is real money that's hurting real people. And it hurts lower income people the most because lower income families spend a bigger chunk of their family budget on consumer spending. And in terms of beating it, there are a few things. On an individual level, I think, making sure that you're holding maybe a little bit less cash than you do, being more willing to invest, whether it's in the stock market or maybe you want to put into a commodity to hedge against the inflation. There's a treasury investment, a bond group or a product. I'll read the name here. It's a guaranteed 7.12% return. It's called the Series 1 Savings Bond on the Treasury Direct website. So those are all things you can do personally. On a macro policy level, the fact that the Federal Reserve has dug in their heels and said that they will still keep the monopoly money mentality to treat the U.S. dollar as monopoly, that's a big change we need. And then the other big thing is anybody within the sound of my voice, if you can call your senator and tell them to vote no against the Build Back Better bill, this is only going to spike our inflation further.
You know, one of the things that's so striking is the tone deafness of the people in this administration. Ron Klain saying essentially a couple of weeks ago, it's a rich person's problem to deal with inflation. Jen Psaki talking about the great tragedy of the missing treadmill because of the supply chain shortages. These are people who are among the most elite human beings on the planet, and yet they will run year after year trying to say that they're for the working family, the working man, the working woman. Yet they don't seem to give a rip about the struggles that people are doing when it comes to making ends meet, buying shoes for your kids, paying for energy, or for keeping the grocery stocked.
Exactly. Not only does it hurt people, young people, poor people, but also elderly people who are living on a fixed income, because essentially if you planned out your retirement, you were responsible, you said, I'm going to be able to have this much money over this expected lifetime, guess what? You're going to shave, your earnings that you did while you were working are now going to be less and less valuable with each passing month. And so your future is going to be eaten up in inflation. So this is, it really was, I agree with you, just totally tone deaf. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, it also hurts the future. It hurts future generations.
Sure
because
does.
When you look at the U.S. debt-to-GDP ratio, currently we're at 126%. This is far higher than the 52% we had in 1960, just prior to LBJ's massive Great Society welfare binge.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were at 35% in 1980 and 56% in 2000. So we're orders of magnitude higher above where we were here at 126%. And what happens is if that number continues to climb through passing things like Build Back Better, I like to call it Build Back Broke,
yep.
That could result in a bond rating downgrade, which would further spike interest rates, which would jack up inflation even more.
It's an incredibly dangerous game that's being played in Washington, D.C. to try to satiate one very small group of people in this country, while the majority of us just want to be able to go to work and get a paycheck and come home at night. And unfortunately, we are literally seeing businesses having to compete against Joe Biden's treasury and his ability to pay people to just sit on their rumps, which is a terrible thing. Where do people get more information on your organization, Carrie?
Well, Brett, thanks for having me again. We're at the Independent Women's Forum. It's IWF.org. And say hi to me, hi to my folks down there in Shelby, North Carolina. I lived and worked down there for the Shelby Star for a little while.
Very nice.
Big fan of Charlotte.
As we get into this next campaign in 22, it's going to be rocking here. So I'm sure we'll be having a lot more conversations. I appreciate you making time for us. And if I don't talk to you, have a wonderful Christmas season, my friend.
Thank you. You as well, Brett. Take care.
Take care. That's Carrie checking in with us. How about that? Little hometown connection there, TJ. Sort of, kind of, close. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment, and I think this is worth considering. I know money is a little short these days, right? It's hard to find a couple of bucks. You need a couple of bucks. You're not feeling so great about things. Here's what I think you should consider doing. Go ahead and get a line of credit, but put it in the name of your children and use that line. Go run up $50,000, $60,000, $150,000 in credit and use it to pay for things that you need done. Maybe you need to remodel a television. Maybe you want to get a better iPhone. Maybe you want to pay for some babysitting, whatever it is, but put it in your kid's name. They're going to pay for it once you expire, or as Rush would say, assume room temperature. They'll just leave them that line and be like, listen, I controlled my costs by shifting the stuff I would normally pay for onto your shoulders in future generations. Now, what would you say if one of your friends, it's a canasta night, it's pinochle night, it's the BPOE, it's whatever it is, you guys are all sitting around. One of your friends tells you that, you know what, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to extend lines of credit to my children in their names, and I'm going to run it up and pay for the stuff and tell everybody that I have cut my spending. My spending has now been cut. I have reduced my exposure by simply transferring all those bills to my kid. And then when they're older, they can transfer those bills to their kids and the next group and the next group. Because it really doesn't matter, right? I mean, this is just money. You'd say I was crazy. And I would be crazy to think you can do that. Hey, great news. I just got a $25,000 credit line from a big bank. What do you say we go to Vegas and blow it all in a weekend? You know you have to pay that back, don't you? Really? I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. I might get lucky. Might double the money. Might put it all on one spin. That's the game they play in Washington. Everything's too expensive. So the way we're going to make everything cheaper is by subsidizing it through the federal treasury. Hello and welcome. My name is Tom Ponzi. This is a Ponzi scheme. We take money from you to put it in that guy's house, and money from him to put it in that woman's house. That's right. We keep shifting. Let me introduce you to my assistant. Hello, Monty. Three-card Monty, that is. That's right. Good to be here. Have you met my associate, Stephen Shellgame? Yes, that's right. All you gotta do is look. I know you just got off the bus. Watch the bean. All right, now, where's the bean? This is what they're doing. It's worse than sleight of hand. It's like naked robbery. Naked robbery. Where they're naked and they're robbing you, and you're like, okay, free stuff. Yeah. Where's the laser pointer? I'm gonna chase it. We have to say no to this nonsense. How do you get people back to work? Stop paying people not to work. How do you get people to get back to work in a pandemic setting? Secure the border. Make sure everybody's got their stuff taken care of, and let's get back to work. This is what we have to do. It's not hard. It's science. Oh, I screwed up. Darn it. I'm not supposed to say it's science. I'm supposed to say, it's not hard. It's Fauci. Fauci told us he's science. Fauci is science, and science is Fauci. You can't buy into this nonsense, folks. Trust me on this. If you trust me on nothing else, trust me on this. I'm dead serious.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. Continuing to watch this story out of Oxford High School there in Michigan. Check this out. This is interesting. Apparently, the Oxford High School officials, where this shooting took place earlier today in Michigan, knew about credible threats of a school shooting and chose apparently to reopen school even with these threats that were out there. This is a note that they sent out from the administration to parents and guardians. We are aware of the numerous rumors that have been circulating throughout our building this week. We understand that has created some concern for students and parents. Please know that we reviewed every concern shared with us and investigated all information provided. Some rumors have evolved from an incident last week, while others do not appear to have any connection. Student interpretations of social media posts and false information have exacerbated the overall concern. We want our parents and students to know there's been no threat to our building nor our students. The safety and security of our students and staff is always our top priority. To accomplish this task, Oxford High School has numerous highly trained professionals who work to keep our building safe and secure. We have counselors and social workers who work with students on a daily basis. We also have two highly trained security guards and an Oakland County resource officer on site who assist us as well. Contact us if you're aware of any specific threat or concern that you have heard directly. Boy, that's going to be somebody who's going to have to answer some questions. Whoever put that out. I mean, that's a big deal. Joe Biden is in the Midwest, but he's not anywhere near Waukesha, Wisconsin. He's in Minnesota touting his infrastructure plan. Rosemont, Minnesota. There's no indication that he has any interest in going to Waukesha or will go to Waukesha or even fly over Waukesha. It's interesting. You would have thought that there would have been a much higher profile reaction to the vicious murders that took place there at the Christmas parade. And that's gone down the memory hole, hasn't it? Tragic. Terry, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, Terry?
Hey, Brad.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call again.
I appreciate you being there.
I was listening to the Pete Callender show, and he had a parody song about Manny Cohen with the tune Hang On Sleepy. Well, I would like to sing a little ditty from a different songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay?
Well, yeah, why not? Let's do it.
Oh, Mandy, did you not know what you were doing? Oh, Mandy.
Oh, boy.
Did you not know
Whoa.
Who you were screwing?
Whoa.
You believe Fauci, and you heard and see the economy. And Mandy, I heard you were stepping down today. And all I've got to say, Oh, Mandy.
Oh, my Lord.
See ya.
Whoa, my God. This is just, you know, Terry, I just... You killed the show, Terry. What did you do? It was a nice show. It was young and handsome and strong. And you just came in and you mandied it. I mean, I don't know. TJ, call your wife. Josh, you're gonna have to take some extra time as well. We're going to do a little film session tonight. We're going to go over what it was that went down right there in that play. I don't understand. It felt like we were jamming too many in the box. And, you know, you jam too many in the box and you get confusion. And Terry just basically took the top off of us right there. He took the top off while we were jamming in the box. I don't know what to do. I mean, this is going to have to be, there's going to be X's and O's. Jimmy's and Joe's. And I'm just saying, that's, whew. I mean, that was really a whew moment. I just don't know what to do with that. I mean, I believe that Charlotte's got talent, but I'd like to hear some more of it. University of Oxford professor Jim Naismith, no, not the guy that invented basketball. Jim Naismith asserts that despite England dropping its mask mandate in July and Scotland keeping its rules in force, official data shows that these masks have made no meaningful difference to infection rates, according to a study that he did. He goes on to argue that new face mask mandates being imposed in England today are unlikely to have much of an impact in fighting off the spread of the Omicron variant. Despite flatlining case numbers and declining deaths, partly achieved because England chose to lift lockdown restrictions in the summer, unlike many European countries, mask mandates are once again back in force. Are we going to get to this place where, like, I already figured that Mecklenburg County is going to keep the mask mandate in effect until, like, I don't know, 2027, 2028, I think something like that. But, I mean, broadly speaking, is this now the new thing? Is this now the new, now this intrigues me. Douglas on masks. Douglas, welcome to the program.
Great program. Love listening to you. You'd want to know, I came back from a third haircut since wearing masks, and they keep everything out, and they work so well, but at the end, I think it's odd that I've got at least 20 to 30 hair clippings inside the mask when I'm done.
So whoa!
I'm sure
whoa,
none of the COVID virus is making it past, but full hairs, yeah. They're somehow slipping in. Don't know how. Do the math.
That's
wake up, people.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Douglas. He's got... We don't think that was a harebrained scheme, do we? I mean, that's... I think he's really... That's a hairy situation. What kind of mask are you wearing? I remember I was at CPAC coming up on about a year ago. I was at CPAC, and I saw a guy come walking through, and he had a mask on, but it was a fishnet mask. And I thought... Boy, are you up for an interesting Saturday night in Orlando, buddy. I mean, I don't know what you got planned, but what are you doing wearing a fishnet mask? I mean, you could have shot dimes between those holes. I mean, no problem. It would be very, very easy. But the hair clipping thing, that is actually, I think, a very interesting idea. Because if you're breathing in and you're breathing out, like, let's say, God forbid, you have COVID in your system and you're breathing out. Does the fabric grab that COVID and keep it, or each exhalation, are you pushing the ick further and further out through the filtration system and then out to the broader public? See, that's what I want to know. Like, for example, have you sneezed while wearing a mask? Have you had the occasion to sneeze while wearing a mask? I don't believe, short of like duct tape, that you're going to have anything that can restrain that flow of a sneeze. I mean, that sneeze is like, that is like Ferrari power coming through that mask. I just wonder about that. There's got to be a way to test this. There's got to be a way to test this. I think if you could get a bunch of chalk dust, put it and blow it at somebody's mask, and then have them take the mask off, you'll see where the outline is, and did you get any slippage getting in there? And that's the only thing I could think of. Or tear gas, see if they cry. You getting any of this? Are you picking?
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Picking up what I'm dropping. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. 704-570-1110. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. And you know what's really kind of cool? We had a caller on hold who couldn't stay on, but never let anybody tell you that people in talk radio are not resourceful and are not smart and are not willing to volunteer information that advances the conversation. We had a caller, he couldn't hold on, and he said, blueberry vape penetrates the mask. If you're wearing a mask and you're doing blueberry vape, I've never vaped, admittedly. But apparently, the mask is not enough to conceal, to keep either the blueberry vape out or the blueberry vape in. So, you know, act accordingly. There is that consideration going on. You know, I played the clip of me calling the Mexican consulate, talking about wanting to emigrate into Mexico and wanting free stuff. And that was like a decade ago that I did it. And it's actually pretty good. Maybe I'll bring it back during the holiday season just for a laugh or two. One of the other calls I made was to a vape shop. When vaping was first taking off, I made a call to a vape shop in Vegas. And I asked what kind of vape flavors they had available. And they were giving me, I don't know, like baby bunny and this and blueberry and razzleberry, whatever it was. And I said, you know, that all sounds tremendous. I was interested in getting started in vaping, and I noticed there's no pine-flavored vape. And the woman, like, got offended and went, pine? Why would anybody do that? You feel refreshed and clean as a result of the vaping of the pine? And she got very, very freaked out when I asked her if I could send her some of my grandmother's chicken soup. Could she convert that to a vape for me to enjoy it? She hung up. That was the termination point of that call. That's the only reason I bring up the vaping issue. It's because it's one of those interesting little things that, you know, you realize that you can now test the mask, the mask strength in that regard. You know, you can see what it is that's happening. The Omicron variant was in the Netherlands before South Africa raised alarm about the new coronavirus variant. This is per the Washington Post just in the last hour or so. Now, think about that. So this thing was in the Netherlands. So that's the Low Countries of Europe. It was there before it was in the in South Africa. Meanwhile, we have completely walled off and locked up the people in South Africa in terms of not being able to fly into the United States, Botswana, a number of other countries that are down in Southern Africa. We've got a travel ban. Have we put a travel ban on the Dutch? Have we put a travel ban on the Dutch? We need to find that out, because if it was, in fact, in the Netherlands before it was in South Africa, you know, we should be, you know, shutting down everybody who has got an outbreak of this stuff. Now, we have outbreaks. Apparently, we have a couple of outbreaks. That's some of the reading I did earlier today. Now, are we being locked out from any place else? Don't know. You're not really seeing that, because today, Biden is speaking on infrastructure in Minnesota. It's Infrastructure Day in Minnesota. No discussion of the supply chain, no discussion of the debt ceiling, no discussion of inflation. He's standing in front of a truck and he's talking about the infrastructure plan. Now, look, if this is really the infrastructure plan that he's out there selling, I think that thing sells itself. It's like meeting the senior VP or the president of the company, and he tells the same Christmas joke every single year, and you've been there for 5 or 6 years, and he doesn't get any new material. This administration has no new material. They're still pushing infrastructure. Yes, it's been established. Roads, ports, and bridges. Good. We want that. Highways. Terrific. What I also want to know, though, is there going to be gasoline for those vehicles that are traveling on those highways and going to the ports and going to the airports? Like, are we going to have that stuff, or are we just going to have an amazing port structure, an amazing infrastructure set up, bridges, roads, tunnels, what have you, and nobody going anywhere? Are we basically going to become like Pyongyang? You ever see the videos of Pyongyang? They've got these skyscrapers and buildings and stuff, and they're all completely unfinished inside, and they're probably dangerous to go up into because they probably built them, you know, over a weekend at a balsa wood to try to look like they were happening. What is going on here? Are we going to create like those ghost cities that you heard about in China where they would build these giant cities and then nobody would live in them, but they had these giant cities, these developments? Is this what we're getting from this? Because why it is... that you would have people selling the infrastructure bill when it's passed and people are already okay with it. Why do you keep talking about it, Mr. President? And now he's speaking about the Democrats, quote, social spending bill. What do they call that thing? The human infrastructure bill, which is such a creepy sounding thing. Human infrastructure bill to me sounds like what is Soylent Green? It's people. What is Soylent Green? It's human infrastructure. It's what we have. And what we're doing is we're going to pay people to take jobs that nobody really wants, to go out there into communities and to work for $39 an hour to be a babysitter or to be a pre-K or teacher or administrator for $39 an hour. And the government's going to pay for that person to get paid $39 an hour so that you don't have to pay anything for your child care, because now the child care is free. And with all that money you then have freed up, you can then take that money and what's that? Spend it in the economy? Wait, you already spent it. You were spending it in the economy for your child care and you were growing businesses. So now you're going to make it a public benefit and you're going to be freed up with all that money to go and spend money at the supermarket or at the mall, which is going to have a practical effect of what? It's going to have a practical effect of inflation. The very thing that we're supposedly battling by doing the human infrastructure bill, even though this human infrastructure bill is not going to really show results until, I don't know, is it 2026? Wait, we only funded it for 2 years. Oh, we only funded it for a year. It's $4 trillion and it's 2 years. So in 2 years from now, which will be 2023, really almost 2024, we'll be doling out more money for these boondoggles that these people come up with sitting in Washington, D.C. I have not heard a single person come walking up to me anywhere here in Charlotte or in Vyrnes, walking up to me saying, darn it, this childcare is so expensive. I need to do something about this childcare. You need to find more affordable childcare. Well, I need what I need. Well, maybe you need to move to a place that's got more affordable childcare. Maybe you need to hire somebody on your own to engage in the childcare offering. Because if you wait another 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you're not going to need pre-K. You're going to be in K. You're going to go from pre-K to K, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 college, where then you can get the Jill Biden free college, free community college, free college stuff. But what they're doing here, understand when you see this, when Biden talks about the Democrats' social spending bill, they are going to pick up the tab so that your money is freed up to spend more money and create more inflation. But they'll be directed in the directions that they believe are valuable, valiant, and important. And really, that's all that this ultimately comes down to. It's about moving the dollars from column A to column B. It becomes our responsibility to pay for your child. I am a pro-life guy, but I think when you have children, you should do your level best to be taking care of your children and finding suitable babysitting, daycare, pre-K, K, etc. for your child. That's just the responsibility when it comes to having kids. We've all had to do it. Those of us who have kids that are now late teens and early 20s, we've all had to do that. You're not the first generation that suddenly had to pay for this stuff. We all have to do it. And the big question is, who do you then hire to come and work those jobs? What if they don't want them? What if there isn't turnout? Well, we pay them $75 an hour. Perfect. That's the way you fix it. More money. More money, more money, more money, more problems. News Talk 1110, 99.3 W.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
BT. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. 704-570-1110 for you to have your say, for you to check in later this hour. We're going to have our good friend Bo Thompson coming by. We'll cross the streams, break down all the big stories that are out there. Good stuff all around. And happy to hear from you as well. If you want to reach out, say hello. We'll take your phone calls. Let's go back to what we did in terms of starting this program today. I think it's an important story, and it's one that many people may just be getting into their cars and not knowing about. And it's this. Just one day after Jack Dorsey was replaced as the CEO of Twitter, the company's former chief technical officer, Parag Agrawal, said the platform has banned the sharing of any images or videos of people without their explicit consent. The far-left company stated, "The misuse of private media can affect everyone, but can have disproportionate effects on women, activists, dissidents, and members of minority communities." So you're starting to see the first moves towards censorship there on Twitter. Now, I get it. People are sitting back and they're saying, Twitter's a sewer, man. Who cares? I don't go on there at all. And when I do, it's just to fight idiots. Or when it is, it's to go and yell about sports or something like that. Well, think about some of the big incidents that have occurred in the last few months, let alone the last couple of years. You've had images of rioting and rioters destroying property. You've seen a madman, a criminal, a career criminal, driving his SUV and plowing through innocent people, mowing them down in Waukesha, Wisconsin. You've seen images of course, of Kyle Rittenhouse being in Kenosha, Wisconsin with a firearm and shooting people that he said represented threats to him, only to end up having him be acquitted on those charges. But the fact of the matter is, many people saw this information on Twitter. What Agrawal is now going to do on Twitter is he's going to say, do you own the rights to that image? Well, did I film it? Yes, I filmed it. I shot it on my phone. But did you get permission from the rioter, the looter, the anti-fascista? Did you get permission from Kyle Rittenhouse? Did you get permission from the people at the Pink Hat protest? Did you get permission from the January 6th insurrectionists to show their videos all over the place? Did you get permission? No, I didn't get the permission. Then you cannot post it. What happens when you're a person who did post it? There's a piece of a video that's gone viral, and it's circulating on Twitter, by the way, right now, inside a classroom at that Oxford High School there in Michigan, that shows, I think, a display of smart thinking and heroism coming from these students who are locked down in a classroom. There's a knock at the door, and someone is saying at the door, "Hey, bro, let me in." And the kid goes, "We don't feel confident about that decision. We're not opening the door." He's like, "Come on, bro, open the door. Let me in." And the spidey senses in these kids' minds obviously kicked in, and they said, "We're not opening the door." Then a quick-thinking young woman opened a back door, and they were able to flee that classroom, go across the grass there on the way to another building where they sought more shelter in a different location. My point is this. You will not know about heroism if you go by the Agrawal rules. What happens if you're standing on a highway and, God forbid, you see a terrible crash, you see an aircraft incident, you see a terrorist attack, you see space aliens coming to Earth? Am I supposed to go up to E.T. and say, "May I post your video, the video of you, E.T., on Agrawal's Twitter page? May I do that, or will I be sued?" E.T. phone home. "Can you give me permission, E.T.? E.T. phone home. "Okay, I don't think I have permission." Dang it. No one's going to believe me now. I'm going to have to rely on that Taiwan company to do the reenactment of E.T. coming to Earth. But what's this really about? What it's really about is stopping you, by and large, a conservative or a libertarian, from putting videos of you and your group being harassed, or you and your group being threatened, or you being beaten up by Antifa, or you being chased down the street by a group that, you know, doesn't like that you're standing on a corner with a flag or whatever it is that you're doing. This is about the restraint of speech for a specific group of people. You. Conservatives, libertarians, constitutionalists. They'll tell you you're an insurrectionist until they're blue in the face. They'll tell you that you're not welcome in this country and they should form a mob around you and tell you that you shouldn't be a part of the conversation. They could do that, but it's much easier to do it on the sneak, which is what they're doing. And so what's readily apparent to me is that Twitter doesn't want conservative voices on their platforms, and they're going to use what they can to run you off. You can stay and you can fight, but you're ultimately probably going to be deplatformed. And it'll be the first of the shoes dropping as we look towards 2022, because you're not going to be allowed to post a video of AOC answering a question dumbly, or Madison Cawthorn answering a question in a dumb way, or anybody else. I'm being bipartisan in this regard. I understand. There are people on both sides of that political aisle who are going to answer the questions in different sorts of ways, but they don't want you doing that. If you want to stay on Twitter, that's absolutely your right and your choice, but just be sure that all your posts involve support for climate change, support for defunding law enforcement, support for open borders, support for all the most radical possible changes that you can be a part of. Because the fact of the matter is, they've formed a group, they've formed a circle, and they've sent a message to the conservatives in the United States and beyond that you're not welcome here anymore. They've followed the playbook of Congresswoman Waters. And so I think it's important to be aware of that and to understand what is coming. This is going to be the great purge, and they have to do it before the clock strikes 2022 and you're able to mobilize and you're able to get your messaging out. I am fully confident that that is what is going on. You are going to see the great social media reset come to fruition over the next days, weeks, and months. But I can guarantee by April, it's going to be a totally different high-tech landscape, because they have to clear the field of the troublemakers. And anybody asking questions, raising their hands, what have you, you're a troublemaker. And they're going to trip you up with these new standards and practices.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It's that time where we cross the streams. Bo Thompson, Brett Witterbull. How are you, Bo Thompson?
I'm good. Hope you are.
I'm great. Everything is totally great here. I'm starting to really get into the Christmas vibe here, and I have to say something very quickly because I took a poll of the gents here in the room. We got Gentleman Josh, we got TJ, me, and you. The three of us, at least, are still alive vis-a-vis Whamageddon. Have you been Whamageddoned yet?
No.
Okay, good. We're all still alive.
Please don't change that during this segment.
No. I will make a commitment that I will not Whamageddon you. This is like where those mafia guys, when they get to the restaurant, they have the sit down and they agree they're not going to shoot each other. They really are just going to talk. So there's going to be no Whamageddoning, I promise.
The first rule of Whamageddon is we don't talk about Whamageddon.
We don't talk about Whamageddon. That's right. That's correct. Look, one of the things I think is interesting, because I forgot it was a story and then it came back, and that is Tiger Woods reemerges in the last 24 hours talking about what happened with that accident, about his potential future as a golfer, his life. And we have to remember, this was all the way back on February 23rd that Tiger was involved in that terrible car crash there in Palos Verdes in just out of L.A.
So he held his first news conference, first time he's spoken anywhere publicly since his accident. Now, he did, I guess it was Sunday or maybe it was Sunday a week ago, but he released a video on Twitter that was like 11 seconds long of him hitting a golf shot, you know, at practice tee with his leg that he injured. It had a, you know, a spandex deal on it, but he hit a shot. And given all that you've heard about how severe these injuries were, I mean, we're talking about like pulverized bones,
yes,
not just broken bones, but just, you know, obliterated bones in his leg and his foot. You know, the fact that he even did that, if you haven't seen it, you should go look it up if you're listening right now, just to see what this guy can do base level with a golf shot right now, much less walk. But so he's, you know, getting set for the Hero World Challenge, which is one of the events that he hosts. Mm-hmm. He's not playing in it, but he that's where he held his news conference today at the Albany Golf Club. And it was just, you know, I mean, I guess we all knew this was going to come at some point, but this morning, here we go. And look, he's Tiger Woods.
Right.
I wouldn't put anything past him, although he said, he sort of insinuated that, I'm never going to play everyday PGA full tour golf again, but maybe I'll try to play an event here or there. You know, Ben Hogan, I didn't know the whole backstory of Ben Hogan because I'm not a, I like golf, but I don't, you know, I'm not, I don't know the whole history of everything like some people do. And Ben Hogan, you know, was injured in a car accident, and he made a return. He was younger than Tiger by about 10 years, I think, and he made a return after that and played spot events. So you sort of heard that in Tiger's voice today, but you also heard him say things like, you know, he almost had his foot amputated during this. And he said he's being realistic and there's a long way to go, and, you know, he doesn't know if he's ever going to play at a tour level ability again. So, you know, on one hand, it's like, hey, the guy was hitting a golf shot on Twitter this weekend. On the other hand, you really think and crunch the numbers on what he had to recover from. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's lucky to be standing.
And the interesting thing about this also is there's a sad component to this, obviously, is the passing on Sunday of Lee Elder, who was the first black golfer to play in the Masters. He passed away at 87. And so you've got this person who blazed a trail. Tiger was able to, you know, pursue amazing heights, have a couple of physical setbacks, a few physical setbacks, but, you know, he continues to move on. Maybe he'll be playing for the love of the game rather than, you know, feeling like you have to be out there playing every week to earn a paycheck.
Yeah, and look, it's not near the same thing, except to say that when somebody goes through trials and tribulations, they come back with a different sort of worldview. I think Tiger, based on what he said today, obviously has a different worldview, but he has an appreciation in more simple things than he did when he was in his prime. You know, the same type thing with Cam Newton a little bit. When you heard Cam Newton come back, seems a little bit more grounded, seems to appreciate just being in the moment a little bit more.
Right.
Even though our most recent memory of Cam Newton was not such a good one on Sunday, but the 2 weeks before when it was so storybook, you know, I see here a little bit different, more grounded, more life perspective Cam Newton, and the same thing with Tiger Woods to a much different degree, but, you know, sort of on the same wavelength if you kind of boil it down.
Let me ask you this quickly, Bo. Are you as surprised as I am to see the velocity with which all these college football coaching changes are happening and these big, huge signings? It feels like it's the Wild West right now with all these different moves inside college football.
Well, when Notre Dame and Oklahoma have openings, it makes me wonder what's going on with Matt Rhule. I have to tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, because for, you know, the better part of this college football season, every Saturday morning on ESPN's College Game Day, they seem to have at least a 30-second to a minute, you know, coaches roundtable, and Matt Rhule's name always got mentioned for Southern Cal. Well, obviously that's been filled, but with the way the Panthers' season is going, it does make me wonder. That's the first thing I think of when you talk about all these coaching carousels. The other thing is, I was talking to Zoki this morning, these are not small schools.
No.
These are not small jobs. These are big names, you know, and big names moving from you know, when you see a move from Notre Dame when you see what
LSU, and
you talk about Oklahoma to Southern Cal, I mean, mm-hmm. these are like you're going from blue blood program to blue blood program. This is not a guy making a small, you know, leap, you know, crawling up the ladder.
It is interesting because, you know, you're talking about you're going to have realignment in a couple of cases with Texas and with Oklahoma and the SEC. Well, that's clearly not going to be impacting USC's fortunes, and that may be an easier ticket to getting into the CFP.
Urban Meyer said today that he's happy where he is in Jacksonville.
Sure.
And I'm not suggesting I've heard anything definitive about Matt Rhule, but again, the sheer fact that these huge programs have openings, anybody who coaches football has got to have their interest peaked a little bit, right?
Without a doubt. I mean, look, maybe Harbaugh decides he's going to come back into the pros. Finally, Argua over there at Twitter, the new CEO who took over from Matt Dorsey, he says we're going to start putting in new restrictions. You have to get permission to post video, and you have to have permission from the people who are in the video for you to post. Otherwise, you're going to be unwelcome. That's a big swing, man.
Well, first of all, how quickly it happened. The guy's not wasting any time.
Nope.
And when you make a move like that, it's intended to be symbolic and send a message. And two, is this the end of memes?
Yes.
I mean, so can you, I mean, people post memes all the time on Twitter. It's a pastime. What does that mean for things like that?
Good luck. It's over.
You know?
It's over. It's over.
This is so. I mean, this is, I was, look, I'm not surprised that it's happening. The swiftness of the whole thing is pretty interesting and a story, obviously, to keep an eye on.
Who you got coming up on the show tomorrow? I got 30 seconds.
We got Beth Troutman on the show tomorrow. I just got word, by the way, as we're looking forward to Thursday, that U.S. Senator Tom Tillis is going to be back at 8:05 on Thursday. So Jim Szoke breaking down the latest Panthers news, and Beth will be in the house for 2 hours tomorrow, and lots happening between 5 and 10.
Great stuff, my man. I'm looking forward to it, and we'll pick it up in the morning, my friend.
Talk to you then.
You got it. That's Bo Thompson. I'm Brent Winterbull. News Talk 1110-993.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
WBT. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. All right, so here's something I've been wondering about. Because we have cleared Thanksgiving. We are into Hanukkah, and I hope it's a blessed Hanukkah for all my Jewish brothers and sisters out there who are celebrating the holiday. It is always wonderful when all of this time of the year comes together, November into December. It's a wonderful time of the year. But I have a question for folks who are celebrating Hanukkah, who are celebrating Christmas, or getting ready to celebrate Christmas, I should say, and Epiphany is going to be down the road. I know we're still in Advent on the Christian calendar. You've also got, of course, Kwanzaa for folks that are celebrating that holiday. Have you started shopping for Christmas yet? And I only ask this, not that I want specifics, but two questions. One, are you spending more this year than you did last year because of the increase in prices? And two, did you feel like, given the shortages, the supply chain issues, that you needed to start doing it right now or even a little earlier? Because most people that I talk to, and admittedly, I know many males. I have many males in my life. You know, a lot of my friends are men. We're happily married men, and we like to talk and strategize about things. And by and large, guys will wait to do the shopping. Like, they'll be like, bowl season. Once bowl season kicks off, which I think is like the 15th or 16th, once you get into the bowls, men will shop right around that time. Now, men are well aware of the fact that there are shortages, supply chain issues, and things like that. So I think strategically you probably had to do your shopping a little bit early, but I'm just curious if, broadly speaking, you're in that group of people or if you're just still kind of waiting. Did you do Cyber Monday? Did you do a bigger Cyber Monday run than you otherwise would have? Did you do some Giving Tuesday today? What is Wednesday? We have Cyber Monday, we have Giving Tuesday, we have Wednesday. Is it Wednesday I'm in love? I don't know. That's the big question. That's kind of floating out there. And It's interesting because tomorrow is the big day. Did you know tomorrow's the big day? Joe Biden is going to give his long-awaited speech on the supply chain and how it is we're going to fix these supply chain issues so that you can get your stuff for Christmas. Now, they're not specifying which Christmas you're going to get the stuff. It may be next Christmas. It may not be this Christmas. It may be next Christmas. He's going to give his address. I don't believe there is anything, and I'm serious when I say this, I don't believe there is anything that the president can do to move the supplies into the United States, short of a couple of things. Coming out and taking some radical move as it relates to trucking regulations with an executive order, or saying, hey, if you're able to clear the ports, I'm going to give a $5,000 bonus to everybody who's involved in clearing the ports. Or, hey, tell you what, if you're a truck driver, if you own a trucking company, whatever, I'm going to give you a tax holiday. I'm going to tell you you don't have to pay any income tax coming up this year. We're going to waive your income tax. I'm just making this stuff up, but I have to believe that's the only way you're going to get inducements in to do this sort of stuff, because I keep seeing these people come out and say, we need to put the United States Navy on the job. The United States Navy is not in charge of your PlayStation. Okay, they have a Call of Duty, and it ain't your Call of Duty that's sitting out there in a package somewhere on a barge. That's not what the United States military is for. The United States military is responsible for killing people and breaking things, and then sometimes delivering relief supplies in a humanitarian emergency. But the fact is, we don't go and send aircraft carriers out so that Huawei can bring some phones in to the United States. Okay, or the Apple Store, or any of that kind of stuff. But I can't envision what he can do to get this thing working in terms of making it more efficient, because there are bottlenecks. And it's so weird because he was supposed to speak about this yesterday. He didn't speak about it yesterday, didn't speak about it today, is speaking about it tomorrow. But the excuse they used for him not speaking yesterday was he needs to meet with the CEOs of these big companies who have stuff out there at sea. So he needs to, you know, the usual sort of people that you'd expect, the big box stores, Wally World, those folks, and then some of the bigger companies that are out there being a part of this. Well, okay, that's all well and good that you're going to go meet with these big corporations, but really, isn't it? A whole slew of challenges that are happening out there. And what can those guys tell you that otherwise you wouldn't have known? Other than, hey, we have a shortage of truckers. Hey, we have a shortage of people that can unload. Hey, we have a shortage of port space. We have a shortage of chassis. We have a shortage of... I mean, we all kind of know what the problem is. And so what will happen, and you know what will happen, whatever the remedy ends up being, we're going to overdo the remedy. Do you remember when Andrew Cuomo was yelling and screaming about ventilators back during the COVID crisis, during the real ugly days of the COVID crisis, and he needed hospital beds and hospitals and ventilators and all that stuff, and he would do his four-hour press conferences as a counterbalance to Donald Trump's press conferences? And then what did the president do? What did the administration do? They sent the hospital ship to New York City. They went to the Javits Center and they built a big, 23,000 bed hospital. They did all the crazy stuff that they had to do, which was necessary. And then it didn't get used. Remember when everybody was pushing for ventilators, right? We need ventilators. Well, we manufactured a whole bunch of ventilators. And I'll guarantee you they're all probably sitting out in a closet somewhere or a warehouse being forgotten about. So we have to be careful because government does lag the market. And when it comes to fixing problems, there's actually a limited amount of stuff that can be fixed by the federales. Lloyd, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brent. May I approach the throne?
You may. I appreciate you being there, my friend.
Hey, we have a tradition in our family. The night before Christmas Eve, we go to Walgreens or CVS and we buy the most expensive thing we can and swap gifts that way.
Do you really do that, or are you fooling me here?
I am serious as a heart attack.
So you go to the CVS or the Walgreens and you buy the most expensive thing that you can get in there, and that's what you guys. Now, is that the totality of your Christmas gifting?
Well, it's like a game.
That's cool.
Because you're going to come home with some really nice Timex watch or some flash drives.
Flash drives. Wow.
Yeah.
No, I'm not judging you. I think that's fascinating. You know, Jean Nate. Body spray of some kind, perhaps?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you can still get Brute.
Brute by Fabergé?
Yeah.
That's it. Brute by Fabergé.
Soap on a rope?
Hey, if you got soap on a rope, let me tell you something. You are well ahead of the game because you never have to worry that you'll drop the soap in the shower because you've got that on that rope, my friend.
Well, you know, we have a heterosexual household.
Soap on a rope works for any sexuality. Everybody needs to hold on to that rope soap. And I'm just telling you that. It's important. You've got to remember that. You know, I know people who are creative enough. They'll put the soap on a rope around their neck, right, with the soap, and then just stand there and let the shower do all the work. Oh. They're not even scrubbing at that point. They just they'll wrap it around their head, and they'll just stand there and be like, let the scrubbing bubbles. Well, I think that's actually a cleaning product. The scrubbing bubbles. Is it? That, don't use that. You're gonna burn your situation. Don't do that. But that's a cool idea. I like that you do that. And now, congratulations! There's gonna be a run on luxury items at the CVS and the Walgreens. So go.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Early. Ladies and gentlemen, approaching the microphone, Mark Garrison.
Oh, he's here.
Charlotte at 6, which comes up just after 6.
Hence the name.
Mark Garrison, good to be with you. We haven't been together since...
It's been a little over a week.
It's been a while.
Yeah, we've had a lot of basketball games and stuff like that going on. Yeah.
Have you started your Ixmas shopping yet?
A little bit.
Yeah, me too.
How about you?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
I used to like to wait till the last minute, but now it's like, I just get it done.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tricky. And you've got the cyber now, and you got to buy the stuff, and then they got to ship it.
Then you got to worry about the porch pirates stealing.
The porch pirates are the worst. Oh, my gosh, are they the worst. They're the worst.
Yeah, you got a bunch of them down in Fort Mill, I understand.
Yeah, they've got them. They had a guy driving around.
Yeah.
And he was, which is so dumb, because it's like Thanksgiving Day. People are home. What are you?
And they've all got doorbell cams.
Yeah, so you don't pirate.
Smile.
You don't pirate on Thanksgiving Day. Everybody's sitting around. Half of them are loaded watching football. They will fight you.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he figured they'd be on the couch passed out so he could take their gifts.
So what do we got coming up on the big shoe?
Well, we got a deadly school shooting today in Michigan. Three people dead, a 15-year-old, the shooter. He would not say why. He just said, get me a lawyer.
Wow.
And that goes with here in Charlotte. Another gun found at a high school today, Harding High, number 17 so far.
Wow.
And the superintendent, will hear from him. He says, well, maybe kids are frustrated over COVID-19, and that's why they're packing
heat. Oh, no, come on.
That's what he said.
All right.
North Carolina's pandemic princess is quitting. Mandy Cohen stepping down as the head of Health and Human Services. You know, she's been the face of fighting the virus.
Right.
The cheerleader for vaccing and masking.
Wear a mask all the time.
There you go.
All the time.
Yeah, and she will let you hear the response to the question when she was asked, are you going to run for office?
Oh!
Yeah.
Is she maybe getting upgraded to the Biden team?
We'll see. She was very coy about what her next steps would be.
Boy. All right.
6:20, we have the first interview with Charlotte's new federal prosecutor appointed by President Biden, a woman from Charlotte who says she decided she wanted to be an attorney when she was just a little girl.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very interesting story. And then 6:35, Dirty Restaurant Tuesday. Tell you about a nasty Olive Garden when you're here, your family, and a dirty deli.
A dirty deli?
Yeah.
A dirty deli.
A dirty deli.
You know, that almost sounds like an insult you throw at somebody. Come here, you dirty deli. What's wrong with you?
It does.
All right, Mark Garrison. It's been far too long, my friend.
I know. We'll have to do this again tomorrow. In fact, I think they'll make us. Yeah.
I think we will. All right. Mark Garrison, Charlotte at 6. You want to listen to that for sure. I'm a little crestfallen regarding the Olive Garden issue. Because I'm thinking, like, does the endless breadsticks make up for whatever other kind of challenges you may be facing? I mean, you can't really... Can you funkify bread? Not really. I mean, unless you're repurposing it from one customer to the next. Would you, would that, okay, in an era of COVID and non-COVID, would that upset you if you found out that you were getting bread that had been deployed to another table already?
Instant refund.
Really?
Yeah.
Even with like gravy, hot gravy on it or something, or, you know.
All right,
you,
I'm back in with you.
Because, you know, you figure you could kill off whatever parasites are on there or whatever with the hot gravy.
Yeah, no.
See?
I'm out.
This is why, in all seriousness, that story, all these stories, this is why you can't have breakfast for dinner. Because you have a finite group of places you can get breakfast for dinner. And so as a consequence, you may be stuck having, you know, you got to eat breakfast for dinner. You know, you're sitting there and you're all like, this ham is delicious. This waffle.
That works. Biscuits and gravy for dinner.
That's fine. That would be like the DMZ. Okay. That would be where we can walk in together and dine.
But when you add bacon and eggs?
No, eggs. BLT is good. You can have a BLT anytime.
Okay.
But I'm not doing a Monte Cristo. I'm not doing an egg. I'm not even doing egg salad at night. No.
What?
No. It needs to be piping hot. I mean, if you want to give me some piping hot egg salad?
Ooh.
Oh, now who's picky?
Yeah.
No, but it's, you know, I could, because the thing is, it's like, look, I'm not going to eat a scrapple omelet for dinner. It's just, you know, a haggis omelet or something. I want something that's clearly designated as dinner food. Like corned beef and cabbage, which I would eat for breakfast if I were in Ireland and it was a long, long night. But, you know, that's what we've been reduced to. So it is interesting to take a look at some of the other headlines that are out there moving around as we speak and as we consume the news in real time here on the show. The first accuser testified in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. You're not really seeing a lot of coverage about this. Don't you find that strange that you're not seeing extensive coverage on the issues of Ghislaine Maxwell? Somebody pointed out, and I don't know that there's any connectivity to this, so I'm not going to say names, but they said yesterday that three high-profile CEOs resigned yesterday, day one of the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. Now, that could also be, it is the basically the end of the year. It's a time of transition. That sort of stuff does happen on its own. But people are trying to piece things together with the conversation. And, you know, it becomes a little tricky. This story now moving. Brian Laundrie's parents put up a for sale sign at their Florida home weeks after his remains were found. Who buys that? I mean, in all seriousness, what are you buying into by buying that situation? Also, in addition, Kyle Rittenhouse no longer enrolled at Arizona State following his acquittal. Remember, there were the Arizona State University Socialists, that's the name of their club, who came and said that they didn't want him to be enrolled at the school. Now, remember, Kyle Rittenhouse was enrolled as a virtual student. He wasn't physically on the campus, but there was enough of a clamor over feeling triggered that this was the way it was going to be. And unfortunately, you've got people who are going to say you were acquitted, but you don't have a right to go to this college, even if it's in a in a virtual way. You're not actually in the classroom. You're not actually interacting in person with people. That's not going to be permitted. And that's a problem. And then there's Bill de Blasio. Bill de Blasio, a lunatic's lunatic. I mean, he really is a lunatic's lunatic. They are now opening in New York City because what New York needs is more people on drugs, okay? New York City is opening the nation's first supervised injection sites for drug users. The mayor tried to push the controversial proposal to open a total of 4 sites before, but was blocked by former Governor Cuomo and former President Trump, who both opposed the plan of shooting galleries being opened up and supervised in the city of New York. Well, those two gentlemen are no longer in, or two men are no longer in the picture. President Trump is headed to Florida. And of course, what you have with the situation with Cuomo is self-apparent. So come on down if you want to shoot up And you want to take that ride? You can do it in New York City, courtesy of Bill de Blasio. They're not building more schools. They're not giving more opportunity. They're not improving their test scores, but they're making it easier for junkies to get a fix. I understand it's an illness. It's something that has to be treated. But I also understand that when you sign off on this sort of stuff, you get more of it. You get more of it. You get more people coming in to your city to engage in that behavior. And before you know it, that's California. Deadly serious. Or as Biden would say, deadly earnest. Thanks to Josh and TJ and Boomer and Mark Garrison, Bo Thompson, and each and every one of you. We'll do it again tomorrow starting at 3. I'm Brett Winterbull, News Talk 1110 993 WBT.